All right, here we are live in ATA New Orleans. I am joined by Ellis Mayer from Go for Ellis, one of the partners with NATA, and they have an Uber-like app for athletic trainers. So if a big sports event needs athletic trainers, then they go to Go for Ellis. And if an athletic trainer needs a per diem job, then they go to Go for Ellis, and then they kind of hook them up, and they meet them up, and then we go from there. Is that about right?
Yep.
All right. So, Ellis, let's talk about where this started, where it came from, and then we'll kind of continue about how it works and where you're going from there. So, where did Go for Ellis come from? I imagine it came from your name.
So, we named it after the way I answer the radio when I work a lot of our tournaments. So, we were born out of a youth sports company called Next Sports. So, I started out as a per diem athletic trainer for them probably about 7 years ago. I was showing up working their tournaments and asking some questions that were making them a little nervous. So where's the AED? Where's the emergency action plan? The lawyer, general counsel of Next Sports, got a little nervous. He was like, well, that sounds important. It sounds like we're going to get sued. Could we bring you on as a consultant? I said, absolutely. So I came on as a consultant for them originally, writing all their emergency action plans, showing them what AEDs are, where to buy them. So I ended up leaving for a little bit, going to Boston University, get my master's, came back, and by the time I come back, the company had grown to the point where they run 47 different tournaments in about 15 different states. So it was a lot. I wrote all the emergency action plans, had to find all the athletic trainers for the tournaments, making sure we were writing all the policies for the company as well, so making sure everybody knows when there's lightning, what do we do, and setting up a lightning policy and child abuse clearances. I mean, there's just a lot that goes into keeping youth sports safe environment, and so they saw all the work that I was doing there, and they said there's got to be an easier way to do this. And that's how we came up with Go for Ellis, was that we wanted to make youth sports safer by making athletic trainers more accessible. I mean, there's a lot of ways you can make youth sports safer. The easiest way is just hire an athletic trainer. I mean, we're the experts, so put us on the sidelines, and we're there to keep the kids safe.
All right, so you said it came out of the growth of the company.
Mm-hmm.
So how did it go from you coming back saying, oh my gosh, I'm overwhelmed, to where it is right now?
It wasn't so much that I was overwhelmed. It was more like they just saw that I was doing and all the legwork that it goes into finding athletic trainers. There's a lot of regional solutions. So if we were running a tournament in New Jersey, I would contact the local PT clinics or local per diem companies there. So there's a lot of smaller solutions by community. There was no national solution. There wasn't like a one-shoe-fits-all, like this is where the go-to stop to find athletic trainers are. So that's kind of where it came from, was like there's just got to be an easier way than knowing that when you run a tournament in Indiana, you call Neil, and when you call it, we run one down in Texas, you call Jeremy. So it's kind of, we wanted to make it so athletic trainers are more accessible to everybody. So it's all about accessibility to healthcare and keeping kids safe. So it's like if you can get everybody in the same place on one platform, it just makes everyone's life easier. Event operators, it's a one-stop shop. They know they can post an event wherever they need us. ATs, same thing. If they want per diem work, they can come to our website and find a job.
All right, so you said making youth sports safer.
Mm-hmm.
So does Go for Ellis, is it just for youth sports events, or are there like collegiate camps and industrial like Amazon jobs on there as well?
So we started in youth sports because that's what we were born out of. I worked Division I, a couple different places, and I feel like for me it's a passion of mine for youth sports, just because by the time you get some of these – you get your patients in college, they're surgical candidates at 20, and you're thinking, what could we have done at an earlier age to intervene to help the quality of life for this person long term? And so that's why I'm really passionate about the youth sports industry, and I ended up in a youth sports company trying to keep these kids that come to our lacrosse tournaments safe and play in our leagues and all of our and our club teams. So that's kind of why it started on that realm. I think it's an easy place where we can intervene and make some long-term life changes for people. But we actually found a lot of success at the high school level too. Have a lot of athletic trainers in the area who work at a high school full-time, but ice hockey's off campus, so they don't cover ice hockey for them. So supplementing that full-time coverage to kind of help people at high schools a little bit is one of our things. Also, we've had some good good traction with colleges too. So summer camp season. So a lot of the colleges are, sometimes the athletic trainers are off, sometimes they work camps, sometimes they don't. So we've had a lot of colleges who are like, you know, we don't necessarily have our staff athletic trainers work these camps. So sometimes we've got some traction with that too. So it's not just youth sports. We were kind of branching out into everything, but that's kind of how it was born, was for the kids.
Gotcha. All right, so again, making youth sports safer came out of a need to simplify the process. All right, so I had mentioned earlier that, you know, like AT Vantage, they're like a staffing company for athletic trainers. Mm-hmm. But you guys are specifically like a Uber-type app that allows this is the need, this is the want, and then you meet in the middle, right?
Yep. So we're essentially a matchmaker. So we are matching athletic trainers with opportunities to work per diem work with these event operators. So we're kind of cutting out that middleman. So if you were to post a shift for a football practice for 2 hours for $50 an hour, you'd post it at $50 an hour. The event operator would then, they get a 12.5% fee on top of it. So you'd be billed $112.50. The athletic trainer turns around and they get $100. There is a 3% processing fee just because that's your paid direct deposit within 2 days. So we partner with Stripe, and so the athletic trainer would then get $97 for the day. But it's all directly deposited. There's horror stories of everybody working per diem work and tracking people down 2 weeks later, 6 weeks later, months later, maybe never even getting paid. So that was one of the big challenges I wanted to solve, was I wanted to make sure people were getting paid and paid on time. So we did that with the 48-hour one. The other thing problem that I wanted to solve too was in per diem work, it's not necessarily safe or comfortable sometimes to work as a per diem athletic trainer just because you don't know what you're walking into all the time. So I wanted to make sure that there was the available resources to make those decisions and if you want to work for this person or not ahead of time. So we created what's called an emergency action plan generator. So if you put in your football practice, like we just talked about, you put in the address, we have it synced with Google's API. So it'll tell you the address of the venue where you are. It'll ping the local hospital, fire department, police department. It'll have all of that written down so you can see and review this plan before you even decide if you want to work the event or not. So that was another thing I wanted to make per diem work a little bit safer for people, because it can be an interesting experience when you show up and you're like, where am I?
Yeah.
What's the address of this field? Is there an AED? So there's the same thing in the emergency action plan generator. There's a whole checklist. Like, is there an AED? Where is it? Is there a lightning plan? What's going on with all that? So we do have a whole supplies list where you can kind of see what's going on and get to know the person ahead of time before you end up working it.
All right. So in just talking about that, the EAP part, mm-hmm. is that something that I'm the event host. Do I put all that information in? So I put in my address, and then the app takes care of the rest, or I need to go say, this is the hospital we use, this is the fire department we use, this is the...
So it'll spit out a what we call a just kind of like our stock EAP. So you'll have a couple different fields that you fill in. Like, obviously, you need to fill in the address. You're the only one that knows that. The other couple fields, like AED, you're going to have to tell us where the AED is. Is there going to be an ambulance on site? Where is the ice or the water, lighting, safe shelter, that kind of stuff. So you have to provide that information. The Google API links in to find the local hospitals and the fire department. You want to just double check it just because that's best practice. So you just be like, yep, that's the closest hospital. It's all automatically done. And then we've also worked with Corey Stringer to have a lot of their emergency action plan guidelines kind of slotted into the EAP too. So, like, you know, roles, like what are the roles in the plan? So there's a lot of education we're doing on both sides of the platform. Event operator education is what we're doing a lot of right now. We went to USA Football Conference, US Lacrosse, US Soccer, and we do a lot of advocacy for athletic trainers at these places saying, do you have athletic trainers at your soccer tournament? Why not? Tackling the question of, oh, we use EMTs instead of ATs, and so having those conversations. So we're doing a lot of advocacy on this, on two event operators, and educating them about emergency action plans, athletic trainers, our roles, how we can help, and how we can kind of minimize risk for their organization by appropriately staffing it with appropriate medical staff.
All right, so I haven't personally used the app. You'd mentioned like $50 an hour for the football practice.
Yeah.
Is there something in there that says this is the minimum, this is the standard, or do you have like a pop-up saying, hey, this is lower than recommended, you're not likely to get somebody?
So when we were developing the app, that was one of my things. I was absolutely wanted a bottom floor. I was like, we're never going to let anybody post anything low or insulting, frankly. And then my lawyer friend that I made nervous with the AED question was like, well, that's called price fixing a market, and it's against antitrust laws, so we can't do that. So unfortunately, we can't enforce that. But we have the same thing. I've been operator education. And the good thing is that they'll post something on there, and if it's something low and not below market rate, we tell them, and we're going to, listen, people aren't going to apply for this. And so what we're seeing, because it's an open marketplace, this is what we've seen. So you can scroll through, and it's an a la carte menu, and you're either going to work the – you're going to sign up to work the $40 an hour shift or the $35 an hour shift. It's obviously you're going to go for the 40. So what we're seeing is we're seeing prices drive up because we've created this open marketplace, and event operators, the going rate in Philadelphia, so that's our home base, this time last year was about $30 an hour. Now the average rate's more like 40. So we're seeing prices go up for athletic trainers, which is awesome. That way we can really advocate for each other. We're creating a little bit of competition. People are willing to pay, and they're ready to do it. So we're excited.
Very cool. How many users do you have on each side of currently?
So I'm not quite done, but next month I'll be in SWATA, but we've done almost every district conference. Traveling all over the country, talking to athletic trainers. It's a double-sided marketplace, so we have to build one side or the other. Right now, we're over 3,000. My phone's buzzing up with every sign-up we get here today. But we're having really awesome conversations everywhere we've been. We went to EATA, GLADA, CETA, Ramada. We'll be at SWATA next month. So there's a couple that we didn't hit just because there were some date conflicts, but we'll hopefully get there next year. But we have over 3,000 athletic trainers on the platform, which is really awesome. At least one in every state.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so we talked about the pay, but does it say you have to scan in your license, you have to scan in your CPR card, that kind of stuff? How does that work?
Yep, so we're really kind of empowering athletic trainers to run their own show, right? So you are responsible for your own license, your own certification, you need to have professional liability insurance. All of that stuff, there's a whole credentials section. It's really easy to upload. It just syncs with your camera. You can take a picture of it, or you can upload it via the computer, like a PDF. So license, certification, there's a resume section if you want, professional liability insurance you need to have, and then also, depending on the state laws, standing physician orders or plan of care. So we've studied all 50 state practice acts. A lot of reading, a lot of very interesting things written in all those laws. But we studied all of those, so we know what's kind of going on in each state. So if you need standing orders for per diem work specifically or not, there's a section where you can upload, yes, I'm allowed to work per diem underneath this doctor, under the supervision of this doctor. And then the last thing is child abuse clearances. So that's another thing that varies greatly state by state. Sometimes it's inferred with your licensure. So if you submit your fingerprints through your licensure, it's fine. Sometimes it's not. So Pennsylvania is one of the strictest states. We actually have three different child abuse clearances you need to get before you work with children. So, but that's all something, you know, if you're a practicing athletic trainer, you have all this stuff ready to go, and it's just kind of a nice dashboard that organizes all your documents for you. And then on the other side, the event operator can sit there and pull it up and say, yep, this is, I see they're certified. I see they've got their license. They've got everything they need to go. So they can kind of look at you and you professionally and hire you too.
So going to the standing order. So somebody doesn't work at a school, doesn't work for a company. They're just say like a stay-at-home mom that picks up jobs on the weekends. What do you do there for standing orders?
So we haven't really had much pushback or any sort of real lot of issues with our users. If you're an athletic trainer, you have relationships with many different physicians that you've worked with. So we typically have them just contact the physician that they've worked with in the past and say, do you mind being my supervising physician for this camp this weekend? Or for just per diem work in general, and this is what we'll do. So athletic trainers, if you're a good athletic trainer, you have a great relationship with your physician. You know, that's just kind of the nature of the game. So we haven't had much issue with people reaching out to physicians that they've worked with previously and saying, hey, do you mind if I work camp and you oversee me?
Okay, so we talked about where you are right now. Where are you headed with Go for Ellis?
Sky's the limit. there's a lot of potential here. I'm really excited about it. I think that there's some potential maybe research implications we could do. I mean, if we're putting athletic trainers on the sidelines, of these sporting events all over the country. We could, if we're recording injury data, we could potentially do some really amazing injury epidemiology at the youth sports level. So I think that's something that's in my mind is a that I'm working towards that goal. Another big thing that I'd like to incorporate too are CPT codes. So now we can actually track the services rendered at these tournaments and say, because so many times people are like, well, I don't want to pay they want to pay like $20 an hour for somebody. They don't want to pay $50 an hour. They don't understand the value. And sometimes athletic trainers ourselves, we don't even understand our own value.
Right.
So I think if we were to incorporate a really easy way to track that, it would be really a powerful tool to advocate for more athletic trainers in that setting. And my hope is that we find that this is an entire setting that obviously needs us. And I think that we can create some jobs at that level. I mean, I know I lived it. I had a job in there. These are massive, massive million-dollar companies that are running soccer tournaments every weekend in 13 different states. And there's a right way to do things and a wrong way to do things. Cutting corners on safety is not the right way to do things. And I think that we can show the value of athletic trainers. We can potentially create a whole different job setting for people working in youth sports, trying to intervene earlier.
Do you have any stories of Gopher Ellis creating like long-term positions or even like just part-term positions outside of just using the app because of the advocacy that you guys have done?
Not quite yet. I think we're definitely going to. Yeah. I think that we've had some really amazing feedback from the event operators saying, hey, this staff was incredible. We are like, this is amazing. This is so easy for us to do because they would have to track down the athletic trainer for their 1099 for their tax. They'd have to mail out the check. So I think that we're getting a lot of positive feedback. And I think the more and more better interactions we have between event operators and athletic trainers, it's just going to grow the profession even more.
All right. So how much do you have going on in Texas?
So we're actually not open in Texas yet. So we're building a double-sided marketplace. So similar to like Airbnb. So when Airbnb started, they went out and they hired a photographer, very fancy photographer, and came to your regular looking apartment and made it look beautiful. So they got everybody who had a house or an apartment and wanted to rent it. Then they put it live and said, hey, we have all these apartments in New York City. If you don't want to stay in a hotel, you can stay in Airbnb instead. So that's kind of how they started. So that's how we modeled we're modeling our rollout. So we're doing the same thing. So we're doing building one side first. So we're creating, all these athletic trainers, accounts, going and meeting with all the district representatives, going to the district meetings. Every district meeting I go to, I reach out to all the state presidents, vice presidents, executive directors and say, hey, we're here at SWATA. We'd love to sit down with you and talk to you. So we get kind of a feel for what the culture of athletic training is, the need for per diem work in their state, and what are the current solutions. So we're not quite open in Texas yet. We'll be down in SWATA yesterday. You guys have the most athletic trainers in the country. So
yeah.
It's one of our definite, we want to be open in Texas soon. We just opened in Colorado this week. We have a big, the U.S. Club Soccer Championships. We're working with them. So in July, there's 2 weeks of championships that we'll be doing. Same thing with Florida. We just ran our first lacrosse tournament in Florida last weekend, and it went really, really well. Two of the athletic trainers actually came up to my booth and said it was a really awesome experience, which is awesome to have that conversation. But, yeah, so we're not quite there yet. And the reason we're doing a controlled rollout like that is because we don't want you to post something in rural Texas that we just can't help you with. Like, we want to be able to actually deliver on our promise of being like, yes, we have all these athletic trainers to help you. So we're kind of following more of an MSA model. So trying to open in those big cities where we have these big pockets of ATs. So if we have all the users mapped and we can see where our high density areas are, we can start approaching our operators in those areas, trying to get more work for people to work in those areas. Another thing that's interesting to me is how far people are willing to drive to work, too. I had no idea. People in Florida, they do not mind taking a road trip. I had one of the athletic trainers that worked last week, and I was like, well, it's 128 miles. The other one, she drove like 2.5 hours to work, which is, I'm from Pennsylvania, so 2.5 hours is like, forget it, I'm not driving over there. So it's really interesting, state by state, like just the culture of athletic training changes so much.
Gotcha. Okay, I know you said you're doing controlled rolled out. So
yep.
So when are you bringing the professional photographer to get my glamour shot?
We can take a selfie.
All right. That'll work. So I want to go sign up for Gopher Ellis. I'm in one of the other states other than Texas. What I need to have my CPR card there or a picture of it. I need to have my certification or, in Texas, the license. And then the physician standing orders and a copy of my HPSO or the personal liability.
Yep.
And then after that, is there an approval? Like, okay, you've checked all this. Now Ellis has to look at all of it and say, okay, you can work here. Or is it once you got all that stuff in, you're approved, and then you can start selecting?
Once you get it all in, you're approved. And it's a matter of there are certain – so studying all the state practice acts, sometimes standing position orders are something that you need written. Other places, it's oral. So if you just tell – your physician that you're working camp this week, that's fine. You don't need an actual written document if you read the state practice act where you are. So the absolute mandatory things are you have to be a certified athletic trainer. You have to be licensed because, well, in every state but California at this point. But and then the other one is you have to have liability insurance. And that's not a law anywhere, but it's just I get that question a lot. We're doing a lot of AT education too, and I get that question a lot. They're like, why do I need professional liability insurance? I'm like, well, do you have $1 million? So I'm like, it's just best practice. You should really just have professional liability insurance if you're going to work anything. It's to cover yourself. You don't want to get in a situation where it could be really, really bad. So that is one of the other mandatory ones that you have to do.
All right, so what else about Gopher Ellis should we as athletic trainers know that we haven't covered so far?
Tell all your friends. I think we're doing really awesome work, and I think that having everybody in the same place is really powerful. I think that we, like we've seen even in the Philadelphia area, if we are able to advocate together and say it's easy to advocate when everything's in one spot. So if you see, like I said, like that $40 an hour job versus the $20 an hour job, like $20 an hour jobs just aren't going to get picked up. And then that person has no choice but to actually pay appropriately.
Yeah.
So I think it's just get on board. I think we're having a lot of fun. I think we're doing really good stuff. I think we have some potential to do some incredible things. Like I said, some of my pie in the sky ideas about I'd love to do some injury research, a lot of other things. I just think, I think we're doing good work, and I think we're really advocating for ATs, and I think that we're advocating for youth sports safety and best practices, and I think that I'm just really excited about it. I guess I don't know what else to say. I just think it's gonna be we're doing good stuff, and I think it's not hard to run your own shop and do it well. So it's not hard to be a per diem athletic trainer. I'm sure you had this conversation with Alicia, but like you have to just do it the right way. Just make sure you're covering yourself. Make sure you've got all your documentation ready to go, and you can make a good living off of per diem work on the side.
There you go. All right, so G-O and then the number 4,
yep.
ELLIS.com. What happens if someone types in the number, like F-O-U-R? Do y'all have that one too?
That's a great question. I haven't done that.
You should make sure you buy
that. We should look into that.
I'm gonna buy it, and you have
probably.
To buy it for me.
Our marketing director's on top of it. So
scalping domain names. all right, so gopherellis.com. It's a Uber for athletic trainers. So check it out. Sign up if it's available in your area. Can I still sign up if it's not available in Texas?
Yeah. So all athletic trainers can sign up. Absolutely. That's what we're doing. We want everybody to sign up as much as we can, and then when we have you and all your friends in Texas, we're gonna come down to Texas and open.
Gotcha. So. All right, so check out gopherellis.com, sign up, get some per diem work, and then be more in control of your schedule. So, Ellis, I appreciate you joining us
Thank
here on
you.
The Sports Medicine Broadcast. If somebody wants to get a hold of you, is just going to the website the best way?
Yeah, or just email me, ellis@gopherellis. It's easy.
There you go, ellis@gopherellis.com. This is Ellis Mayer, Jeremy Jackson, Sports Medicine Broadcast at the Dragonfly Max Podcast Lounge in NATA New Orleans 2018, and that is a wrap.